Hello, and welcome to Whole Food Plant-Based Nutrition. This is your volunteer programmer, Babs Felix, from the Sunsound Studios of Arizona in Flagstaff. At Whole Food Plant-Based Nutrition, we would like to offer you information to improve your health by considering various lifestyle options. Our articles come from different sources, which we will always identify. The information presented is for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not intended to replace the advice of your medical doctor or other healthcare professional with whom you consult. Here are some articles on whole food plant-based nutrition. And we're going to start it out with an article from Healthy World Sedona from their newsletter of March 2025. And this is related to St. Patrick's Day and the holiday that we just celebrated. Get Cooking by Bev Bow, Food of the Irish. When March comes along, I think of St. Patrick's Day. And when it comes to the Irish, I think of potatoes. I've always loved potatoes. When I was a young child, my favorite toys were Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head. This was in the early 1950s when toy manufacturers were less concerned about child safety, so our toy was simply an assortment of facial features on little spikes that you could stick into a real potato, using the variety of funny potato shapes to make fun faces. And I liked eating them too. I still do, plus I'm married to a man who has never met a potato he doesn't like. Before the potato famine of 1845 to 1852, 90% of the Irish diet was potatoes, with some buttermilk, fruit and vegetables in season, and occasional meat or fish, if available. A farm laborer might eat as much as 10 pounds of potatoes in a day. Why potatoes? They were easy to grow on small plots of land, did well in poor soil, and made for a satisfying meal. What about nutrition? Were the Irish people malnourished and sickly with this limited diet? Absolutely not. Historical accounts report that they were among the healthiest of Europe's inhabitants at the time, with the young women strong and beautiful and young men tall and strapping. The famine caused by a blight that devastated the potato crop was a true tragedy for this culture, causing 2 million to flee the country, roughly one quarter of the population, and it forced many to adopt other dietary patterns that turned out to be less healthy and nutritious. But in traditional Irish cooking, the potato still reigns supreme, with stews, soups, shepherd pie, farls, F-A-R-L-S, which is a griddle bread, and coal cannon, among other hearty dishes. But are potatoes truly healthy? Aren't they high in carb? Aren't they high in glycemic? The answer is, compared to what? Does a potato have more carbs and a higher glycemic impact than an equivalent amount of kale? Yes, of course. A medium Yukon Gold potato has 110 calories, 26 grams of carbohydrates, and 3 grams of protein. But it's also high in potassium, vitamins C and B6, has moderate fiber, negligible fat, and is high in antioxidants and anti-inflammatory. And perhaps most importantly, it is satiating, causing us to eat less of other, perhaps less healthy foods. This is particularly true when served boiled, mashed, or baked. French fries not only contain lots of fat and salt that we don't need, they have also been found to be less satiating, so there is a tendency to eat more. There is nothing more satisfying than a warm potato soup in the winter, or a flavorful potato salad in the summer. But there's that glycemic index concern. White potatoes do cause a spike in blood sugar, and for those with concerns about diabetes, this is not a good thing. Is there anything you can do about it? Fortunately, there is. As Dr. Michael Greger reports, the glycemic impact can be reduced by 40% if we chill the potatoes in the refrigerator after we cook them. This causes some of the starch to crystallize into a form that can no longer be broken down by enzymes in the gut. After they've been chilled, you can either serve them cold in a salad or reheat and eat with less concern about the glycemic effects. So if you love potatoes, embrace those tubers and enjoy a hearty meal. And from Forks Over Knives, next comes a new feature that they have called Weekly News Bites. And here they are. Pamela Anderson teases a whole new business venture, pickles. I came from a long line of picklers, Anderson recently said in an interview with British daytime TV's This Morning. My great auntie Vi, she won all of the pickle and mustard awards on Vancouver Island. Anderson said the new business will be called Pamela's Pickles, and her own special recipe includes dried rose petals in the brine. An unexpected health benefit of drinking tea. A new study finds that heavy metals adhere to the surface of tea leaves, effectively filtering some of the toxic contaminants out of the brewing water. If you're taking the metals out of the water with the tea, but you don't consume the tea leaves after, which is why it works, Benjamin Schindel, the study's lead author, told the Washington Post. A 5-minute steep time reduced lead levels by 15% in both bagged and loose leaf teas. Dunkin' drops upcharge for plant-based milk. Effective March the 5th, the second largest coffee chain in the U.S. will no longer charge extra for ordering plant-based milk with your coffee. Paul McCartney's lentil soup recipe was hiding in plain sight. This week, Eating Well resurfaced a vegan Easter egg from a 1995 episode of The Simpsons, Paul McCartney's lentil soup recipe. For the season 7 episode, Lisa the Vegetarian, McCartney and wife Linda made cameo appearances to encourage Lisa's plant-based journey. And the soup's ingredient list, read by Sir Paul himself, is buried in the episode's final credits. Eating Well gamely tracked down the voiceover plus the full recipe. And I'm going to read you the ingredient list since we can't do the voiceover and full recipe on this recording. So the lentil soup is one medium onion chopped, two tablespoons vegetable oil, one clove of garlic crushed, one cup of carrots chopped, two sticks of celery chopped, 1/2 cup of lentils, one bay leaf, 1 teaspoon of freshly chopped parsley, salt and freshly ground pepper to taste, and 2 1/4 cups of vegetable stock or water. Sounds yummy. And one more small bite. Most plant-based restaurant meals are unhealthy, study finds. Published in the journal Nutrients, the study analyzed plant-based menu options in 278 vegan / vegetarian and 283 omnivore restaurants in the U.S., deducting healthiness points for dishes containing refined grains, saturated fat, including palm oil and coconut oil, and fried foods. The vegetarian and vegan restaurants offered an average of just 4 healthy plant-based dishes, while Omni restaurants averaged 2.4. Sadly, of the Omni eateries and 14% of the vegetarian vegan ones offered no healthy plant-based meals. So, I guess that tells you to eat at home. You are listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff, bringing you whole food, plant-based nutrition. And next from nutritionfacts.org, the blog of the day, Are Plant-Based Meats Good for Us? By Michael Greger, MD, March 4th, 2025. What are the different impacts of plant protein versus animal protein? And do the benefits of plant proteins translate to plant protein isolates? Are plant-based burgers healthy or not? The answer is, compared to what? Eating is a kind of zero-sum game where every food has an opportunity cost. Each time we put something in our mouth, it's a lost opportunity to eat something even healthier. So, if we want to know if something is healthy, we have to compare it to what we would be eating instead. For example, are eggs healthy? Compared to a breakfast sausage link, yes. But compared to oatmeal, not even close. Sausage is considered to be a group 1 carcinogen. We know that consumption of processed meat causes cancer. Each 50-gram serving a day, which is equal to about 1 or 2 breakfast sausages, has been linked to an 18% higher risk of colorectal cancer. In fact, the risk of getting colorectal cancer from eating those daily sausages is about the same as the increased risk of lung cancer we'd get from breathing in secondhand cigarette smoke living with a smoker. So compared to sausage, eggs are healthy, but compared to oatmeal, eggs are not. When it comes to Beyond Meat and Impossible Foods, plant-based burger patties, they may be better in that they have less saturated fat than conventional meat burgers. But if you really want less saturated fat, plant-based meats are no match for unprocessed plant foods, such as lentils and beans. And lentil soup or a bean burrito could certainly fill the same culinary niche as a lunchtime burger. But if you're going to have some kind of burger, it's easy to argue that plant-based versions are more healthful. There is a sodium issue with those plant-based patties, though, and they aren't that much lower in saturated fat. That is due to coconut oil, which is as bad as animal fat, so there isn't much advantage on that front. I'm excited to say that Beyond Meat has significantly improved their formula since I made a graph for UBS. Now, Beyond has 310 milligrams of sodium and only 2 grams of saturated fat, thanks to a switch from coconut oil to avocado oil. The total protein is similar across the board. Does that matter? Is there any advantage to eating protein from plants over animals? Let's look at the association between plant and animal protein intake and mortality. In the twin Harvard cohorts, which followed more than 100,000 men and women over decades, researchers wrote, after adjusting for other dietary and lifestyle factors, animal protein intake was associated with a higher risk for mortality, particularly cardiovascular disease mortality, that is, dying from cardiovascular disease, whereas higher plant protein intake was associated with lower all-cause mortality, meaning lower risk of dying from all causes put together. So, replacing animal protein of various origins with plant protein was associated with lower mortality, especially if processed meat and egg protein were replaced, as they were the worst. When it comes to living a longer life, plant protein sources beat out each and every animal protein source, not just better than bacon and eggs, but better than burgers, chicken, turkey, fish, and dairy protein. Together with other studies, these findings support the importance of protein sources for the long-term health outcome and suggest that plants constitute a preferred protein source compared with animal foods. Why? Well, unlike animal protein, plant protein has not been associated with increased insulin-like growth factor 1 levels, or IGF-1, which is a cancer-promoting growth hormone. Soy protein is similar enough to animal protein that at high enough doses, like eating 2 Impossible burgers a day, our IGF-1 may get a bump, but the only reason we care about IGF-1 is cancer risk. And if anything, higher soy intake is associated with a decreased risk of breast and prostate cancer. A recent systematic review and meta-analysis found that soy protein intake was associated with a decreased risk in the mortality of breast cancer, for instance. A 12% reduction in breast cancer death was observed for each 5 gram per day increase in soy protein intake. The high soy groups in certain studies were on the order of more than 16 grams a day, which was associated with an incredible 62% lower risk of dying from breast cancer. More than 10 daily grams of soy protein may be good, associated with nearly halving breast cancer mortality risk, and getting more than 16 grams a day may be better, which is like one Impossible Burger per day. We simply don't know what happens at consumption levels far above that. Plant protein has also been linked to lower blood pressure, reduced low-density lipoprotein, which is LDL cholesterol levels, and improved insulin sensitivity. Substitution of plant protein for animal protein has been related to a lower incidence of cardiovascular disease and type 2 diabetes. Indeed, 21 different studies following nearly 500,000 people found that high animal protein intakes are associated with an increased risk of type 2 diabetes, whereas moderate plant protein intake is associated with decreased risk of type 2 diabetes. Those were just observational studies, though. The researchers tried to control for other dietary and lifestyle factors, but cause and effect can't be proven until it's put to the test. Enter effect of replacing animal protein with plant protein on glycemic, which is blood sugar, control in diabetes, a systematic review and meta-analysis randomized control trials. Researchers found that replacing only about a third of protein from animal sources with plant sources yielded significant improvements in long-term blood sugar control, fasting blood sugars, and insulin. The same with cholesterol. A systematic review and meta-analysis of randomized control trials on the effect of plant protein on blood fats again found that replacing animal protein with plant protein decreases LDL cholesterol. What's more, this benefit occurs whether you start out with high or low cholesterol, whether you're replacing dairy or meat and eggs, and whether you're swapping in soy or other plant proteins. We've known about soy's beneficial effects on cholesterol for nearly 40 years, but other sources of plant protein can be helpful too. However, in the case of plant-based burgers like Beyond Beef and Impossible Burger, beef isn't being replaced with beans. Those products are mostly isolated plant proteins, mostly pea protein isolate in Beyond Meat products, and concentrated soy protein in Impossible Foods products. If you isolate the plant proteins themselves, will you still get benefits? Surprisingly, yes. Check it out. The researchers concluded, interestingly, our analyses did not find a significant difference between protein isolate products and whole food sources for any given endpoint, suggesting that the cholesterol-lowering effects are at least in part attributable to the plant protein itself rather than just the associated nutrients. So, it isn't just because plant protein travels with fiber or less saturated fat. Plant proteins break down into a different distribution of amino acids. So if you give people arginine, an amino acid found more in plant foods, that alone can bring down cholesterol, for example. And the plant protein concentrates used in these meat-free products aren't just pure protein. They retain some active compounds such as phytosterols and antioxidants, which can also have beneficial effects. You are listening to Whole Food Plant-Based Nutrition, coming to you from Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff. And it looks like we have time for a few more of the weekly news bites from Forks Over Knives. Tabitha Brown unveils her first book for kids. The actor, author, and vegan super influencer has a new brand, a brand new project to share. Released on Tuesday, the beautifully illustrated Hello There, Sunshine is filled with encouraging messages for kids and was inspired by Brown's own childhood. My mama would always teach me that we all have the ability to be liked, right? Kindness, joy, compassion, and sharing that with others. You can brighten their day. So that means that you are your own version of sunshine, Brown said in a Tuesday interview on CBS Mornings. And again, the title of that kids' book is Hello There, Sunshine by Tabitha Brown. Using plant-based oils instead of butter could significantly cut mortality risk. A new study out of Harvard and MIT finds that replacing butter with plant oils may lower the risk of premature death by up to 17%. Published last week in JAMA Internal Medicine, the study analyzed 30 years of data from more than 220,000 participants. They found that swapping out butter for plant-based oils, particularly olive, soybean, and canola oils, may confer substantial benefits. What's surprising is the magnitude of the association that we found. We saw a 17% lower risk of death when we modeled swapping out butter with plant-based oils in daily diet. That's a pretty huge effect on health, said study lead author Yu Zhang, MBBS, a research assistant at the Channing Division of Network Medicine at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. You've been listening to Whole Foods Plant-Based Nutrition, coming to you from Sunsounds of Arizona in Flagstaff. This is your volunteer programmer, Babs Felix, thanking you so much for listening today, and I hope that you have a happy and healthy rest of your day. And now, stay tuned for more interesting programming coming to you from Sunsounds of Arizona.